Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening in other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this blessed Sabbath, June 28, 2025. This is our review of our chapter 86 entitled Go Teach All Nations, part 3. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones, of our lesson. With the tiny thought theme hymn entitled Marvelous Grace.
Okay, Marvelous Grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that had came in. We are going to ask the precious little one to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please teach the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall I live and do all that work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people who is in the Sabbath and the people who is not in the Sabbath. Please protect the people who are going to be late during the Sabbath but still remember the Sabbath because they love Jesus. Please protect everybody. Please protect the sick people who also love Jesus so still wanted to join Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. This is the time that we're going to hear all the wonderful blessings that the little one has been in their household or in any other endeavors in their life. You could have a chance to be able to share the blessing, dear ones. May you unmute your mind.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For this week's Mommies and Daddies, little blessings. I would like to highlight both my girls, both in their own respective ways. So by the grace of God, I get up very early on Sunday mornings to go to the laundry. And I had one little tiny helper. I was up about 5 a.m. in the morning because I had to get to the laundry for about like 6. And this little tiny helper was up with me and asked, can I please come with you? And I felt bad. I said, no, it's too early. Go back to sleep. But she watched as I shuffled around. And, you know, I was impressed to let her come. And she came with me and she came and she helped to pack the clothes in the washer. She helped me to take them out. She helped me to put the coins in the dryer. She helped me to fold some of the undergarments and other things, and was just a present help. So I would like to highlight Emma for getting up super early and sacrificing her sleep to be able to come and assist me in the laundry. It was a blessing. We had a long day, but she endured. And then I would like to also give a blessing, a recognition to Haley, as we went to the supermarket yesterday to get stuff for dinner. She was very helpful. She pushed around the trolley and she packed the cart so neatly, and she helped to carry the bags to the car, and was just a great help in that time. So I praise the Lord for the both of them in their own little way that they're helping to make the work light indeed. So God be praised, and I just wanted to highlight them. And I pray that this is not just for now, but they'll continue to grow in these areas, and not just in the household, but everywhere that they go.
Thank you, girls. That's the way to treat Mama.
Praise the Lord indeed. Is there any other family that would like to share the blessings? Anyone? You can have the other opportunity to be able to share. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. I have a text. My family, it says, I would like to highlight all of my children. They have been food, shopping, cleaning the house, and having fun with each other. Praise the Lord indeed. It is story times, little ones, so let's have a listening ear. For our dear brother, we share our review from part 4, which is the final part of this particular chapter 25, entitled In Joseph's Tomb, in our study book, The Story of Jesus. And I will pass the mic over.
All right, the Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew today, chapter 27, verses 64, 65, and 66. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, that's the dead corpse, and say to the people, he's risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. I wonder what they thought the first error was, killing him? Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as safe as you can. He told the centurion, take your soldiers and go do what he wants. That was probably the high priest that came to him and asked for that. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the tomb and setting a watch. And a watch means they don't go to sleep. They stand up and keep their eyes open, look around for whatever. They now remembered many things. This is speaking of the priests and the Pharisees and whatnot. They now remembered many things he had spoken, which foretold his resurrection. They could not forget these things, however much they desired to do so. Like their father, the devil, They believed and trembled. Everything declared to them that Jesus was the Son of God, and yet they rejected him. Wow. They could not sleep, for they were more troubled about him in death than they had been during his life. Next slide, please. Bent on doing all they could to keep him in the grave, they asked Pilate to have the tomb sealed and guarded until the third day. Why only the third day? Because they remembered that Jesus had said, I'll rise again the third day. Pilate placed a band of soldiers at the command of the priests. You have a watch. Go your way. Make it as safe as you can. You think Pilate possibly thought, if that's the Christ, they can't keep him in the tomb. That's why he said, do it as best you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch, Matthew 27:65-66. That's taken from the story of Jesus, page 151 and 152.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will begin a new chapter of a lesson entitled, He's Risen, in our Tiny Talk lesson book, The Story of Jesus, and that will take place July 5th, 2025. I will pass the mic again to our dear brother for the review.
All right. Review means, what do I remember? What did the priests and rulers now remember?
The answer to number one is many things Jesus had spoken which foretold his resurrection.
That's right. They had heard because they had had spies follow him everywhere he went, hoping he would say something they could use against him, and they remembered. Okay, why could they not sleep?
The answer to number two is they were more troubled about him and death than during his life.
You know, that's a strange thing that they would be troubled about a dead man. But here earlier, we read that they recognized that he was the Son of God, and they knew that if he said he's going to rise, he's going to rise. But being he'd said the third day, they only asked to have the sepulcher sealed until the third day. If he'd have said, in a week I'll rise, they'd have had it secure for 7 days. Okay, what did they ask Pilate to do?
The answer to number three is to have the tomb sealed and guarded until the third day.
That's right. Sealed and guarded just for 3 days. It seems like they went to a lot of trouble to seal it. They drove a big metal spike into the rock. It was long enough they could tie a rope, a ribbon, a band, a cable or something across there. The stone was made to roll in from just one side. It probably hit kind of the end of its travel, so they didn't have to put a stone, a spike on both sides. Jonathan Gray said he went over there and found the thing, and you could see a picture of the broken off, the cut off spike still in the wall. All right, and what did the soldiers do?
The answer to number two, the bonus question, is they made the sepulcher sure, stealing the stone and setting a watch.
They did what they were told. They made it secure, and then they stood to watch. And do you think they stayed up for 3 days? No, because the priest came over on Sabbath and told Pilate, we need somebody to guard that tomb. So they probably only had a 24-hour watch, you might say, but being Jesus rose very early on the first day, they may have had less time than that, but they had to stay awake. And that's what we need to do during the lesson that follows. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. It is time for Tanita, some parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. This is our review topic, Moments of the Bible. So let's have a listening ear, little ones, for our dear brother will share.
God bless you, everyone. Today's lesson concerning the mammals of the Bible. Our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book FBL Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 7, Jesus Calms the Storm. It says here, as below, Matthew chapter 49, verse 39. He arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And Mark 4:40-41 says, he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We'll be reviewing from last week, lesson 3, Skin and Blubber. We'll be seeing the spiritual insight before the lesson. And the memory verse of course, for today is Ephesians 4:15. It says, but speaking the truth is in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The character quality of the story, obedience versus willfulness. Obedience is compliance with God's command, done quickly and cheerfully. Perfect peace. When Jesus was awakened to meet the storm, he was in perfect peace. There was no trace of fear in word or look, for no fear was in his heart. But he rested not in the possession of almighty power. It was not as the master of earth and sea and sky that he reposed in quiet. That power he had laid down, that he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. John 5:30. He trusted in the Father's might. It was in faith in God's love and care, that Jesus rested, and the power of that word which stilled the storm was the power of God. As Jesus rested by faith in the Father's care, so we are to rest in the care of our Savior. If the disciples had trusted in him, they would have been kept in peace. Their fear in the time of danger revealed, though, their unbelief. In their efforts to save themselves, they forgot Jesus, and it was only when, in despair of self-dependence, they turned to him that he could give them help. How often the disciples' experience is ours. When the tempests of temptation gather and the fierce lightnings flash and the waves sweep over us, we battle with the storm alone, forgetting that there is one who can help us. We trust to our own strength till our hope is lost. We are ready to perish, but we remember Jesus. And if we call upon him to save us, we shall not cry in vain. Though he sorrowfully reproves our unbelief and self-confidence, he never fails to give us the help we need. Whether on the land or on the sea, if we have the Savior in our hearts, there is no need of fear. Living faith in the Redeemer will smooth the sea of life and will deliver us from danger in the way that he knows be best. The Desire of Ages, page 336. The sea obeyed the Master. We need to trust and obey the Master. Sin destroys our peace, and the wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Isaiah 57:20-21. It says, this bold picture of the ocean, of the sea, perfect peace. What does it mean to have perfect peace? That peace be still. And over here, we see a picture of the northern right whale, whose scientific name is Eubalaenia glacialis. His length is up to 18 meters, or 59 feet. And below is a picture of an elephant, which its size is not compared to the right whale. Its size is only 3 meters, or 9 feet. Here we have a diagram of the North Atlantic right whale. We see the callosities, the rostral callosities that appear white or yellow on the top of the head, above eyes, on chin and lower lips. Then there's the baleen plates, long, thin, and black set of 205 to 270 baleen plates, which is almost like teeth, but different. In here, two blowholes blowholes that allow a V-shaped blowhole, a large head, 1/4 to a half of body size, a very arched mouth, no throat grooves, no dorsal fin, smooth and broad back, pectoral flippers, short, wide, and paddle-shaped fins. Its color, it's mostly black or dark gray skin with white or black coloration on ventral side. And finally, the tail flukes, wide triangular flukes with deep median notch. The question says, why do whales always look like they're frowning? Well, they aren't really frowning. And they all have mixed emotions. That's just the shape of their mouths, based on what it looks like on the outside. And next, they can be parasites. And these birds are the little things that appear on top of the whale's skin. The form of a barnacle most commonly encountered by land-loving humans is the gray, volcano-shaped, stony type that can be found attached to piers, buoys, and boat holes around the world. But this is only one form that barnacles can take. They can have a wide range of body plans, but one of the most bizarre is the rhizocephalon barnacle, which is an internal parasite in other crustaceans. They infiltrate and spread within the body of their host and even alter its behavior and appearance. Infected crabs can be detected by the external reproductive structure of the rhizocephalon, and that grows where the crab's own eggs would be. The crab cleans and cares for this growth as if it were its own. Permanent gloom. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Hebrews 10:23. Here we have pictures of acorn barnacles, those all next to the title. Says here, hold fast. So many times God has told us to do just that. He urges you right now, hold fast as that which is good. An animal that lives in the sea really does hold fast. In fact, God has given it the ability to produce a glue that can do such remarkable things that a whole team of scientists are searching to find the secret chemical formula of this permanent glue that won't let go. You've all seen the pesky barnacle that glues itself onto the hulls of ships and boats, on rocks, on piers and wharves. That's on almost any submerged surface. They even stick to the skins of whales, the toes of penguins, and the other shellfish and lobsters. Even after they die, they still stick. Imagine an adhesive that will hold fast to almost any hard surface, even in the cold Arctic Sea, as well as in the temperatures as high as 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Strong acids, alkalis, or protein solvents will not dissolve it. Bacteria doesn't bother it, and it hardens in wet as well as dry environments were a tremendous clue. But so far, the barnacle has kept its secret. From the antenna of the very young, barnacle oozes a brownish liquid that anchors the animal to the place, will stay all its adult life unless removed by very strong force. If scientists can chemically analyze this glue and produce a similar material, it might be used to mend broken bones, fill teeth, or meet many industrial needs. Because Jesus is coming soon, he stresses again and again the importance of holding fast to him, enduring and persevering to the end. There is a danger that we might relax our hold on the good things and not be ready when he corners and when it comes. The only safe way is to hold fast your faith in him. Hold on to all his promises. Keep sticking tight. The barnacle can be scraped off the hull of a ship with sharp instruments of force, but nothing can take you away from Jesus unless you choose to have it so. He will hold you fast if you keep looking to him for strength and power. And at it from stop, look, and listen. Next, we have a diagram of the whale skin called blubber. The first purpose of the blubber is that it is used as a barrier to maintain the warmth inside the whale and prevent heat loss to the cold ocean water. Second, the blubber serves as a food reservoir. This is especially important when the whale cannot find large patches of zooplankton in northern waters, or when female right whales are pregnant, they move to warm southern waters. Third, the blubber is used as fairy material. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. For our dear sister family, we see the picture of the supreme sultan iris, and we have and both observe all the iris flower. Perennial iris. Flowers remind us of people with integrity. Supreme sultan iris features bold yellow flag-like flowers with crimson falls at the end of the stem in late spring. The flowers are excellent for cutting. Its large sword-like leaves remain green in color throughout the season. In landscape attributes, supreme sultan iris is an herbaceous perennial with tall flower stalks held atop a low mound of foliage. Its medium texture blends into the garden, but can always be balanced by a couple of finer or coarser plants for an effective composition. This plant will require occasional maintenance and upkeep and should be cut back in late fall in preparation for winter. Deer don't particularly care for this plant and will usually leave it alone in favor of tastier treats. Gardeners should be aware of the following characteristics that may warrant special consideration. Insects. The plant's height is 3 feet. The flower's height is 4 feet. Its spacing, 18 inches. Its sunlight, full sun, partial shade. The hardiness zone, only 3. In group class, the tall bearded iris. And here, from another picture, we have another spiritual lesson for nature, the perennial iris. The iris is a beautifully colored flower. The word iris comes from the Greek word for rainbow. It has many shades and combinations of colors. The iris colors of the rainbow remind us of the covenant or promise that God desires to make with each one of us. He wants to mold us into people with integrity. The iris has an unusual shape. It has 3 sets of 3 petal-like parts. The ones on the bottom are called falls. The ones above are called standards. And the 3 style branches cover the stamens in the center. Thus, the number of the 3 appears repeatedly in the iris. 3 is God's number. Jesus had 3 trials before he was condemned. The underground stems of the bearded iris are used for perfume and powders. This can bring to mind how Jesus brought forth experiences like perfume to help Judas bloom with integrity as a sweet fragrance to the world. Although he had many gifts and talents, Judas never developed the fragrance of a true Christian character. A design made from a white iris is used for the symbol for north on the compass. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, just as flowers are the evidence of roots not seen. There were roots of bitterness and a lack of moral soundness as Judas developed. His life is an object lesson to us to have faith in God and practice integrity in our lives, growing into loveliness like the iris. The leaves of the iris grow from underground stems. Most iris bulbs are elongated and grow best in the direct sun. Judas had been in the direct sunlight, but did not choose to grow. Next is, we have the pictures of hydrangeas, which is taken also from your Cecilia family. Why should you add bigleaf hydrangeas to a garden? Bigleaf hydrangeas are not only beautiful, but among the easiest flowering shrubs you can plant. Learn how to care for your bigleaf hydrangeas the right way here. How to grow bigleaf hydrangeas? Ideal conditions for the most flowers and healthiest foliage include a moist, humusy, well-drained soil in full sun to plant to part shade. In areas with very hot summers, the USDA zones 7 and warmer, a little afternoon shade will keep the foliage from scorching. Apply a couple of doses of a balanced 10 to 10 fertilizer, one in spring and again after flowering, for the most and best flowers. Provide hydrangeas consistent moisture. Hydrangeas like consistent moisture and often have drooping leaves when they get overly dry. An inch or two of water each week, along with 2 to 3 inch layer of organic mulch, will keep the plants healthy. At times when temps soar into the upper 80s and above, foliage will flag even ample moisture. If the soil feels moist, leave the plant alone. Once things cool later in the day, the leaves recover quickly. Changing the pH of your soil will change the color of your big leaf hydrangea blooms. And here we see this diagram of these 3 flowers in different soils. The blue hydrangeas are an acid soil whose pH is 5.0 to 5.5. These multicolored ones are in the less acid soil whose pH is 5.5 to 6.5. And finally, all these pink hydrangeas, they're in neutral to alkaline soil, which pH is up to 6.5 and higher. A dual soil test determines your soil pH. Do a soil test to find out what you have. If your soil is acid to neutral and your flowers are pink but you like blue, apply some granular aluminum sulfate, sulfur or iron sulfate to acidify the soil. Ask at your local garden center what works best in your area. Always follow package directions carefully, as too much can stunt or kill your plant. Give this several months to work. 2 or 3 lighter applications are better than 1 heavy one. Once you've lowered the pH, feed the plants Miracid to help maintain the soil acidity. Try grouping plants together so you only have to change the pH in one area. Taken from our dear sister Cece family, both the hydrangeas previously and this bowl of strawberries. It says here, the seed boxes of flowers are found in many unusual sizes. Is shapes and places on the plant. Some are found as fruit. The luscious looking strawberry has seeds on the outside of the fruit. By this we see that we are to make the seed of the word of God attractive to others by presenting it in an appealing way. Apples and oranges keep their seeds safely inside. Tomatoes also have lots of small yellow seeds within the fruit. Beans and peas are seeds found in oblong seed boxes. blackberries are made of tiny round balls with tiny seeds inside. A poppy has an interesting round box in the center of its flower. Each plant gives of itself, some even unto death, to make seeds that it may continue to produce more like itself. The sacrificial lamb and the sanctuary service illustrate how Jesus gave his life that others might live. Life and death is one of the lessons the seed teaches us. The work of the sower is a work of faith. In casting his seed into the ground, he is apparently throwing away the precious grain that might furnish bread for this family, but he is only giving up a present good for a larger return. He casts seed away, expecting it to gather it manyfold in an abundant harvest. Christ's object lessons, page 64-65. Each piece of furniture in the sanctuary was to give the people reminders of Jesus and his great sacrifice. Then taken from our dear sister Christina and family, the picture of a black squirrel. Well, and here's the info concerning it. The origin of the black squirrel. Black squirrels were brought to Kent State University in 1961 by Larry Woodall, who was the grounds superintendent, and Biff Staples, a retired Davy Tree employee. They called the mission Operation Black Squirrel. Woodall first saw black squirrels while traveling through Chardon, Ohio. He was confused and surprised to see their distinct black color. After researching the black squirrels, he learned that the creatures were dying off due to them being outnumbered by predators in Chardon. Because of this, eventually the squirrels died off in that area. After learning this, Woodall began to look for them elsewhere. His friend Biff found a multitude of them in Ontario, Canada, on a business trip. The pair worked with United States and Canadian governments to transport black squirrels to Kent in a time period of around 6 months. In 1961, they drove to Ontario to pick up 10 black we eat more here squirrels that were captured by Canadian wildlife authorities. The black squirrels were released in Kent and over time mixed with the indigenous squirrel population. Nature, insects and weeds. Here we're taking pictures, taken also by a sister Christina family concerning wheat dandelions, which are also weeds, and also these thistles. After sin came in through disobedience to the Lord's requirements, the work to be done in cultivating the ground was greatly multiplied for the earth because of the curse brought forth weeds and thistles. Second Flood to Messages, page 255. A weed is a degenerate plant, as said in Jeremiah 2:21. There were no weeds in Eden as all the plants there reached the high ideal that God had for them. The face of nature became marked by weeds in response to mankind's fall to the degenerate state of sin. For although man fell from the high ideal God had for him, the weeds teach us that there is yet hope for, him. They're not referring to that garden tool that's shaped like a shovel, but with a curvy hook. Anyway, thistles, prickly weeds grow easily in cultivated ground, yet thistles are full of instruction to the mind that carefully considers them. One of these lessons they teach is that there is nothing so bad in God's will, but that it has some good feature. The form of the thistle is very artistic. It has been copied by painters and sculptors. The capital of the most beautiful of all pillars, the Corinthian capital, is formed of the carved foliage of a kind of thistle. Although the thistle plant is very rough and bristling and with spines on its stem and leaves, it produces a purple crown which well compares in stateliness and beauty with the blossom of cultivated flowers. In this lovely purple bloom, we see repeated the lesson of hope to sinful mankind, that God will bring good out of evil and will at last crown our regenerated natures with heavenly beauty. Out of the prickly stem and leaves of man's sin, Gaia's produce a beautiful blossom of redemption. The thorns or weeds are like the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. They choke out the word and the seed becomes unfruitful. A thorough weaning of the sins in our lives must take place. We might become pure in heart and ready for the second coming. Shallow surface work will not be enough. The roots of sin must be removed. Otherwise, the evil deeds will reappear after a while. Next, we have the picture of these daisies on a bush. It says here, the nature composite family, a composite. What are composites? The flower head of each composite is made up of tiny flowers packed closely together. Though tiny, God made these flowers perfect in form and color. He knows how to help us with little daily duties and can make them fragrant with love. A day full of such loving deeds would be like a composite flower. Usually the inner flowers, called disc flowers, have very small petals. The outer flowers in the head are called ray flowers. Daisies, asters, and sunflowers belong to the composite family. There are many 20,000 species flowers that belong to the composite or Composite family. Do you remember which family Balaam belonged to and which family Israel belonged to? Which family had integrity and which did not? Each family has many members, like composite flowers, have many tiny flowers or members packed together into one large flower or family. Many small deeds make up our character, like the disc flowers clumped together make the appearance of one flower. Balaam had coveted many times, and the overall effect was a dishonest character. Nature's a composite picture of the character of God. Our reference sheet for our lesson, Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from our study book, The Desire of Ages, chapter 35, Peace Be Still. When Jesus was awakened to meet the storm, he was in perfect peace. There was no trace of fear in word or look, for no fear was in his heart. But he rested in the possession of almighty power. It was not as the master of earth and sea and sky that he reposed in quiet. That power he had weighed down, and he said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." John 5:30. He trusted in the Father's might. It was in faith in God's love and care that Jesus rested, and the power of that word which stilled the storm was the power of God. As Jesus rested by faith in the Father's care, so we are to rest in the care of our Savior. If the disciples had trusted him, they would have been kept in peace. Their fear in the time of danger revealed their unbelief. In their efforts to save themselves, they forgot Jesus, and it was only when, in despair of self-dependence, they turned to him that he could give them help. How often the disciples' experience is ours. When the tempests of temptation gather, and the fierce lightnings flash, and the waves sweep over us, we bow with the storm alone, forgetting that there is one who can help us. We trust to our own strength, till our hope is lost, and we are ready to perish. Then we remember Jesus. And if we call upon him to save us, we shall not cry in vain, though he sorrowfully reproves our unbelief and self-confidence. He never fails to give us the help we need, whether on the land or on the sea. If we have the Savior in our hearts, there is no need of fear. Living faith in the Redeemer will smooth the sea of life. And will deliver us from danger in the way that he knows to be best. There is another spiritual lesson in this miracle of the stillness of the tempest. Every man's experience testifies to the truth of the words of Scripture. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. There is no peace, save my God, to the wicked. Isaiah 57:20-21. Sin has destroyed our peace. While the self is unsubdued, we can find no rest. The masterful passions of the heart, no human power can control. We are as helpless here as were the disciples to quiet the raging storm. But he who spoke peace to the billows of Galilee has spoken the word of peace for every soul. However fierce the tempest, those who turn to Jesus with the cry, Lord, save us, will find deliverance. His grace that reconciles the soul to God quiets the strife of human passion. And in his love, the heart is at rest. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired heaven. Psalm 107:29-30. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Romans 5:1, Isaiah 32:17. Desire of Ages, page 336, paragraph 1-4. Our three bonus questions into a story. Well, in the review, you can check the back inside the book or the Bible to find the answers. Question one is, what did Jesus ask the disciples? The answer is in Mark 4:40. Two, what did the disciples say about Jesus? The answer is in Mark 4:41. And three, describe the wicked as compared to the sea. Check Isaiah 57:20-21. I'll turn the mic back to Mom now. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. It's okay, huh? Welcome to all the precious family that has joined us and those that are joining us in other devices. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Before the Throne of God Above, and that could be found in number 283. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect faith. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while it heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me this deeper, no tongue can bid me this deeper.
When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of all the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end from all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my soul is counted, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me.
Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
One more time, dear brethren. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. Amen. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our family with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Everybody, thank you, God, for this up for this morning. Please protect people who are here and people who are not here. Please protect the word that we're going to be learning. Please protect how we're going to be learning the words that you put in your name. And please protect everybody that's on this call. Please protect the people who couldn't have come. Please protect the people who could come and still make it. Please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, little one. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Scripture Song Singer in section Promises of the Memory Verse CD. And this is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, King James Version. Amen. So what have we learned in ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We are going to take a few minutes to reread part one of our part three of our title, Go and Teach All Nations, in our study book, The Desire Ages. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. We are in The Desire Ages, page 821. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Continuing, Desire of Ages, page 821. But the work was not to stop here. It was to be extended to the earth's remotest bounds. To his disciples, Christ said, "You have been witnesses of my life of self-sacrifice in behalf of the world. You have witnessed my labors for Israel, although they would not come unto me that they might have life." And continue on the next slide, please. Although priests and rulers have done to me as they listed, although they have rejected me as the scriptures foretold, they shall have still another opportunity of accepting the Son of God. You have seen that all who came to me confessing their sins, I freely receive. And I'll bubble down and share the next slide.
Continuing. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All who will may be reconciled to God and receive everlasting life. To you, my disciples, I commit this message of mercy. It is to be given to Israel first and then to all nations, tongue, and peoples. It is to be given to the Jews and Gentiles. All who believe are to be gathered unto one church. Desire of Ages, page 221, paragraph 1, and on the side it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Through the
gift
of the Holy Spirit,
disciples
were to
receive
in a
marvelous
power.
Testimony
was to be
confirmed
by
signs
and
wonders.
Miracles
would
be
wrought
not only by the
apostles,
but by those who
received
their
message.
Jesus said in Romans,
shall
they can't
cast
out
devils
they
I can't read it. And closer. Shall
speak with new tongues. They
come closer so you can see.
Take up
serpents,
and if they drink any
deadly
thing, it
shall
not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall
recover.
Mark 16:17, verse 18.
Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Desire of Ages, 821. Paragraph 2. Very good. Jeremiah.
At that time,
poisoning.
Mm-mm.
This is too well.
Found it under there.
Has.
That's a W.
Was. Off. Off.
The N at the end. Come closer up so y'all can see. Often.
Often. Father.
At that time, poisoning was often practiced. Unscrupulous?
Men did not
hesitate
to remove by his knees, the nose, stood away from.
Speak up, we can't hear you.
Of their
ambition.
Ambition. Jesus knew that the life of his disciples would now thus be
imperiled.
Many would think it doing God
service
to put his fear.
Many would think doing God's service to put
his
witnesses
to their
to
death.
Good.
He therefore
promised
them
protection
from his daughter.
No.
I mean this daughter.
No. Slow down.
This.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner.
Danger. Desire of Ages. Page 821, paragraph 3. This.
Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. We are still in the Desire Ages, on page 821. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire of Ages, page 821. The disciples were to have the same power which Jesus had to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. By healing in his name, the disease of the body, they would testify to his power for the healing of the soul. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and chapter 9, verse 6. And the new endowment was now promised. Next slide, please. And I'll bubble down so people can understand.
Continuing. The disciples were to preach among other nations, and they would receive power to speak other tongues. The apostles and their associates were unlettered men. Yet through the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, their speech, whether in their own or a foreign language, became pure, simple, and accurate, both in word and in accent. Desire of Ages, page 821, paragraph 4.
Thus Christ gave his disciples their commission. He made full provision for the prosecution of the work and took upon himself the responsibility for its success. So long as they obeyed his word and worked in connection with him, they could not fail. Go to all nations, he bade them. Go to the farthest part of the habitable globe, but know that my presence will be there. Labor in faith and confidence, for the time will never come when I will forsake you. Desire of Ages, page 822, paragraph 1.
Yeah.
The Savior's commission to the disciples included all the believers. It includes all believers in Christ to the end of time. It is a fatal mistake to suppose that the work of saving souls depends alone on the ordained minister. All to whom the heavenly inspiration has come are to put in trust with the gospel. Next slide, please. Continuing. All who receive the life of Christ are ordained to work for the salvation of their fellow men. For this work, the church was established, and all who take upon themselves its sacred vows are thereby pledged to be co-workers with Christ. Desire of Ages, page 822, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown? Good job, everyone. And to remember this particular chapter and verse in our scripture, 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version, for our review. Be sanctified, the Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, dear ones, we are going to reread the question that we have from our part one. That any one of our dear brethren, those that are in other devices or in the room, may be moved to participate to edify the little ones and give glory to God. The questions that was reserved, the first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And our last one, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are not able to place them in the room, dear ones, you may use your mind to be able to share. Who would like to take the first one?
Who is the main character or characters? Jeremiah, Chrissy? Jesus?
Jesus.
And?
The disciples.
Anybody else?
The answer to number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story, is what had been foretold in the scriptures about Christ coming true, and the Lord basically still opening the way for those who did terrible things to him to be saved.
The answer to question three, where did this story take place? Most likely on the shore of the Sea of Galilee.
When Christ was risen, number four. Again, when he was risen and he met up with his disciples and was reviewing the different things with them.
For number five, I can relate to this story in that the Lord has given everyone a work to do, even the whatever little bit that they have from the talents he's given. And he will always be there to give us strength and support to spread the gospel and win souls.
What I learned from this lesson number 6 is that the Lord gave a commission to go into the world to preach the gospel. And it says that into all language and tongues and different nations, and that everything in a way will be provided for this prosecution of giving the gospel to everyone in the world. And so we need not worry for any time we decide or however way that we can give the gospel, provision will be made. And that was a promise that the Lord made.
Amen. I would like to go back to number 5. It is so beautiful the way how the Lord took the disciple from the very beginning when he went to the shore and the Father was gathering all those helpers for him. And he's still doing it today. They at the time was not acquainted with what God was doing in their lives. Even when they were fishermen, they were being trained, but they never knew that that training had nothing to do with what it was that they was going to experience later in life. That's the same thing with each one of us. In our own natural nature, we may think what it is that the Lord called us to this world to be able to be, either for in witnessing or in any part of our endeavors. But the Lord was there from the very beginning, for he had called us even before we even knew him. And how he is taking in each one of our lives what he wants us to be able to be a witness to him. The beauty is the way how he was sitting with the disciple doing their commission, and he went through their experiences. We saw a little bit of what happened with Peter. We saw a little bit of what happened to any one of the disciples at the time. Some of them hold fast, some of them had gave up. But the good thing about it is that the same loving care that he did with the disciple, he's still doing it today. We may not know in what way the Lord called us to be able to be a witness to him, but you can rest assured that the Lord does not make a mistake. He loves each and every one of you, little ones, parents, guests. All of us are here because the Lord had made it to be. Now let's stay still and ask the Lord in what way we can glorify his name. We are not trained by our own training at all because we don't know what is ahead. But when the Lord is ready for us, let us make our calling and election sure. And this is what I would like to share on that number 5. Is there anybody else that would like to share their ones? May you unmute your mic. We are going to continue, dear ones. We have thoughts to share, poem, and also special music. Our thoughts taken from our lesson book, The Desire Ages, but this is in the title of The Light of Life in chapter 51. And our reflection is entitled The Sanctifying Power of Truth. Our opening scripture is taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 2. And it reads, "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Among his hearers, many were drawn to him in faith. And to them he said, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Desire of Ages, page 466, paragraph 1. Amen.
These words offended the Pharisees. the nation's long subjection to a foreign yoke they disregarded and angrily exclaimed, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus looked upon these men, the slaves of malice, whose thoughts were bent upon revenge, and sadly answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." They were in the worst kind of bondage, ruled by the spirit of evil. Desire of Ages, page 466, paragraph 2.
Every soul that refuses to give himself to God is under the control of another power. He is not his own. He may talk of freedom, but he is in the most abject slavery. He is not allowed to see the beauty of truth, for his mind is under the control of Satan. While he flatters himself that he is following the dictates of his own judgment, he obeys the will of the Prince of Darkness. Christ came to break the shackles of sin slavery from the soul. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. From Romans chapter 8, verse 2, and the Desire of Ages, page 466, paragraph 3.
In the work of redemption, there is no compulsion, no external force employed. Under the influence of the Spirit of God, man is left free to choose whom he will serve. In the change that takes place when the soul surrenders to Christ, there is the highest sense of freedom. But the expulsion of sin is the act of the soul itself. True, we have no power to free ourselves from Satan's control. But when we desire to be set free from sin and in our great need cry out for a power out of and above ourselves, the powers of the soul are imbued with the divine energy of the Holy Spirit, and they obey the dictates of the will in fulfilling the will of God. The Desire of Ages, page 466, paragraph 4.
The only condition upon which the freedom of man is possible is that of becoming one with Christ. The truth shall make you free, and Christ is the truth. Sin can triumph only by enfeebling the mind and destroying the liberty of the soul. Subjection to God is restoration to oneself. To the true glory and dignity of man, the divine law to which we are brought into subjection is the law of liberty. James chapter 2, verse 12, and this is taken from the Desire of Ages, page 466, paragraph 5. Amen.
The Pharisees had declared themselves the children of Abraham. Jesus told them that this claim could be established only by doing the works of Abraham. The true children of Abraham would live as he did, a life of obedience to God. They would not try to kill one who was speaking the truth that was given him from God. In plotting against Christ, the rabbis were not doing the works of Abraham. A mere lineal descent from Abraham was of no value. Without a spiritual connection with him, which would be manifested in possessing the same spirit and doing the same works, they were not his children. Desire of Ages, page 466, paragraph 6.
By the grace of Christ we are saved. But grace does not abolish the law of God. The law is the transcript of God's character. It presents his righteousness in contrast with unrighteousness. By the law is the knowledge of sin. The law makes sin appear exceeding sinful. It condemns the transgressor, but it has no power to save and restore him. Its province is not to pardon. Pardon comes through Christ, who lived the law in humanity. Man's only hope is in the substitute provided by God, who gave his Son, that he might reconcile the world to himself. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Taken from the Review and Herald, dated June 25th, 1899, paragraph 10. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much, dear brethren. And our poem is entitled, To the Field, taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 3, Quarter 2, Lesson 8, from page 190. On the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
To the field, thou weary gleaner, with thy sickle sharp and keen, cut the whitening grain of harvest, gleaning long soul, some soul to win.
To the field thy master calls thee, hasten thou without delay. Soon the night will overtake thee, thou make haste while it is day.
Gleaning long the field of harvest, gleaning long some soul to win. Soon in heaven's own appraisal thou shalt hear, come, enter in.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our special music is a beautiful scripture song. It's taken from John chapter 8, 31 to 32, King James Version.
Said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Well, dear ones, if you have a testimony that you would like to share, we can be able to do so, dear ones, either in between the services or after the services. So next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 4 of a lesson book entitled Go Teach All Nations in a story book, The Desired Ages. If anyone of our dear remnant family would like to close the family meeting with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you, Father Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all the miracles that you provided and bring us back to this time. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for health and for strength and sound mind. And most of all, we thank you for your word. Be with all of us today, and thank you for all the blessings that you have provided so far. We thank you that you have given us a commission to go into the world to preach the gospel, and at the same time that you will always be there with us. Be with all the little ones, continue to bless and keep them throughout this day. Be with their parents as well. Be with all of us, Father. Continue to gather all the blessings that you have provided for us and that we will be able to gather each one of them. Be with the speaker as we move to the second section of our studies. Be with the words that he will be given, I pray. Thank you, Lord, again for all the blessings today. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Thank you, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, it will be July 5th, 2025. We will have a lesson 438. Entitled, Go Teach All Nations, Part 4 of our Chapter 86. Leaving the scripture and also a small little quote from Manuscript Releases 111, Paragraph 3. And the scripture is taken from Hebrews Chapter 8, Verse 7, King James Version. And it reads, For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. And from our quote, Christ's death and resurrection completed his covenant. Before this time, it was revealed through types and shadows, which pointed to the great offering to be made by the world's Redeemer, offered in promise for the sins of the world. Anciently, believers were saved by the same Savior as now, but it was a God veil. They saw God's mercy in figures. The promise given to Adam and Eve in Eden was the gospel to a fallen race. The promise was made that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head and it should bruise his heel. Christ's sacrifice is the glorious fulfillment of the whole Jewish economy. The Son of Righteousness has risen. Christ, our righteousness, is shining in brightness upon us. May you have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. And God bless.